Bucky Stone is the name. I'm the guy that writes that column that's buried somewhere in the middle of your Examiner, called Night Beat. They call me lucky for the same reason they call a fat man slim. Because the best you can hope for on a job like this is chronic bronchitis, rings under your eyes, and the fact that you're awake when regular folk are asleep. Sometimes the worst happens to you. A story grabs your heart and shakes it until it hollers uncle. A corpse in the dark alley is the business at hand. In the big city, a dead man is a pretty impersonal thing. But this one I had a special interest in, because they wanted me to identify it.
Night Beat stars Frank Lovejoy as Lucky Stone.
It was early morning when I walked into the county morgue. There was that same familiar ammonia smell stinging my nostrils, that gleaming tile, that cold, empty feeling you get. The way the morgue always swipes across your face like the tail end of a nightmare. The police lieutenant was waiting for me. He nodded for the attendant to pull back the white sheet.
Well?
Yes, that's him. That's Ted Carter.
Okay, that does it. We had to get positive identification. You were the only one we could reach. Sorry I had to get you out of bed.
Oh, that's all right.
Guess that winds it up. Be seeing you. Thanks for the trouble.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Huh?
What do you mean, be seeing you and thanks? What happens now? We go back and catch up on our sleep?
I know you had a friendly interest in the kid, Lucky, but he got it the way all hoodlums eventually get it.
He was going straight and you know it.
You're getting sore about it.
Who did it? Who killed him?
Lucky, go into any book joint, any gin mill, look in any back alley, any flop house. Whoever you find there could have done it. Take your pick.
Take my pick?
Nobody talks, nobody remembers anything. In my book, it's murder by person to person's unknown.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Maybe for you it's that way, but not for me, Lieutenant. I've known that guy since we were kids. I was lucky and he wasn't. I talked him into going straight and now he's dead for it.
It's crazy to think that way, Lucky.
Okay, it's crazy. Somebody didn't like the idea of his going straight. And if I don't find out who it is, I'm going to start having some lousy dreams, Lieutenant. And I'm a guy that likes to sleep sound. I walked away from the lieutenant like he had the smallpox and I'd never been vaccinated. When I hit the street, it was raining. The sky was gray and there was a cold chill in the air. I waited for a cab thinking that for the first time I hated this city. I hated it because somewhere in that rain was Ted's killer. What was he doing now? Sleeping? Having his morning coffee? Waiting for the first editions to come out and see how well he'd done? You'd have to look hard to find anything about Ted. Page 6, ex-hoodlum found shot, period. When you're an ex-anything, that's a nice way of saying your dead brother lied down. When a cab showed up, I went over to see Ted's girl, Joan. As soon as she opened the door, I knew she'd found out. Her face looked pinched and pale, and her eyes were red like she'd squeezed out the last tear.
Lucky, why did it have to happen like that?
I'm sorry, Joan. You didn't go down to...
No. No, I couldn't.
I understand. Who do you think did it?
I don't know. He told me he was all through with the rackets.
Well, what was he doing? Who'd he been mixed up with?
He never told me anything. I never asked him. I believed him when he told me he was going straight.
I'm going to find out who killed him, Joan.
Look, Lucky, you and Ted lived in different worlds. He wouldn't want you to get hurt because of him. This is for the police, Lucky.
I'm sorry. The police aren't interested.
Then why should you...
Because he followed my advice and now he's dead. Now, who was the last guy he worked for, Joan? Who got sore when Ted decided to go straight?
I don't know, Lucky. I don't know.
Joan didn't know. I went around to the old haunts, his former friends. They didn't know. The district attorney didn't know. The cops didn't know. Ted had kicked around in this city among all these people for 28 years. And now, suddenly, it was like he'd never lived at all. Then I remembered a little item from his old life, A little item with baby blue eyes and red hair. Laverne Clare. He'd gone with her before he met Joan, and even after he'd met Joan. I know he'd kept sneaking back to Laverne like a drunk trying to decide whether to spend his last coin calling Alcoholics Anonymous or buying a glass of Muscatel. I went looking for Laverne. She had the number 4 spot in one of those 5-times-a-day shows on the untidy side of town. When I got there, I had to wait until the fleshy part of the entertainment was over, and then I went to her dressing room. Now, Ted spent a lot of time telling me how crazy he was about you, Laverne.
Yeah? He's a sweet guy. Ted was all right.
He liked to tell me about the way you looked when you danced.
Yeah, sure. Where's my drink? That bottle there. Pour me, will you?
Oh, sure. Say when.
I'll be when.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Who do you think killed him, Laverne?
Look, Mr. Stone, you're a nice guy. So why don't you go back to your office and write your column about pretty things, Mr. Stone. Nice, harmless things. You don't want to get mixed up with Bailey here with that guy, Jerry.
Bailey?
I didn't say Bailey.
Oh, so it's Bailey. The character that parlays pinballs into diamond stick pins. Number rackets, Bailey. So Ted knew something in here?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say anything. Get out of here. Right away. You understand?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm beginning to understand. So I had myself a lead. George Bailey. Only it was like going fishing with the hope that you'll be lucky enough to catch a trout and all of a sudden look who's eating your worm. Moby Dick, the whale. Before I told anyone else, I thought I'd go back and see Joan. I think I know who killed him, Joan.
You do?
I'm not positive, but it's a beginning.
Who?
George Bailey. Know him?
Bailey? Who told you it was Bailey?
You're getting pale, Joan, so you think it was Bailey, too.
Listen, Lucky, stay away from Bailey. He's trouble.
Yeah? I'll let you know exactly how much trouble. I'll see you later.
Lucky. It's dangerous. Please be careful.
The lieutenant told me anyone could have killed Ted. He invited me to take my pick. I'm going over and see that cop. I've taken my pick. George Bailey.
Lucky, you surprised me. You really expect me to arrest George Bailey? On what charge?
He's mixed up with Ted's killing. You know it and I know it.
Outside of this Laverne girl, I got nothing to go on. You have one shred of evidence pointing to Bailey?
Arrest him on suspicion. Sweat it out of him.
Now, wouldn't I look fine against Bailey's high-powered shyster lawyers trying to make an arrest stick because some drunkard dame shot her mouth off? Even then, she'd deny it if I put her up on the witness stand.
So you don't want to touch Bailey?
Look, get me one witness who saw him together. Find me one scrap of evidence, even circumstantial evidence. I'll arrest Bailey in a minute. You won't find anything. I know. I've tried. All you'll find is frightened people and blank walls. Bailey's had this town by the throat for 10 years. No, I'm sorry, Lucky. I can't help you.
But I couldn't stop. I was like a snowball somebody started rolling down a hill. I didn't know where I was going or what would happen when I got there, but I had to keep rolling. They've got a name for that. It's called a guilt complex. And I had it in Technicolor. Ted was dead because he'd believed in me. I couldn't forget that any more than I could forget my name. Then I remembered my column. Sure, why not? The little poems to the first robin, the jokes about the smog, the stories of the happy winos that have to move over. I was going to work on Bailey in the only way I knew. And keep my fingers crossed that something would happen. What big-shot racketeer sends for his aspirin every time someone mentions the back-alley murder of Ted Carter? When is the district attorney going to get wise and change the address of Mr. B from a downtown penthouse to an upstate death house?
Listen to this, boss.
Yeah?
Stone's latest little offering. When are the police going to bring in the Carter killer?
Let me see it. If they don't know who it is, I'll give them a hint. Think of Daly and reach for the letter B.
How long is he going to get away with that?
Hand me the phone.
Sure.
Hello?
I want Lucky Stone.
You got him.
I'll say it only once, Mr. Stone.
Hmm?
I don't like this kind of publicity.
Oh, you must be Bailey.
I'm asking you to lay off.
Real polite-like, huh?
That's right. Real polite. What's the good word, Mr. Stone?
The good word? I got a whole sack full. You get a copy of the Examiner first thing tomorrow, and you'll see him right under my byline.
Now, listen, Stone.
It'll be something like this. One of the local gendarmes going to knock on Mr. Bailey's door with a warrant for his arrest. Okay, he doesn't want a preview. So let him pay 7 cents. Well, that was more like it. So Bailey was beginning to squirm. Well, 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 on him it looked just fine. I worked late on the column that night, giving Bailey enough needles to sew a circus tent. I was feeling pretty good. That guilt complex about Ted Carter wasn't hurting quite so much. I unlocked my door and stepped inside. I didn't have to shut the door. It was shut for me.
I've been waiting for you, Mr. Stone.
Well, as long as you're here, make yourself at home.
You're a wisecracker, ain't you? Like your friend, Ted Carter.
What do you know about Ted Carter?
Oh, he was a regular car.
Okay, what do you want?
My boss sent me over to take a look at you.
Your boss?
Mr. Bailey.
And you're little boy Blue, huh?
Yeah, a wisecracker, all right.
Well, tell that boss of yours I'll be dropping around to see him for an interview.
Huh? He don't want it that way. He sent me to see you instead.
Yeah?
He don't like people who don't pay attention to his telephone messages. He thinks you're very nasty, yapping all the time that he had something to do with the Ted Carter killing.
So?
So, like I said, Mr. Bailey don't like it.
Okay, Buster, now get out of here.
Not right now. Mr. Bailey wants me to teach you a lesson. For this blackjack. Mr. Bailey don't like smart guys. Wisecracker.
Nightbeat stars Frank Lovejoy as Lucky Stone.
I woke up with a nice view of my ceiling. Sign outside the window flashed off and on. And every time it flashed on, it was like that punk of Bailey's with his blackjack testing his strength on my skull and doing fine. After a while, I crawled to my knees and worked my way over to the wall. And I climbed up the side of the dresser until I reached the phone.
Operator,
get me the police... No, never mind. Skip it. All of a sudden, I didn't want the police in on this. I wanted this to be a private party. All of a sudden, I wanted to feel a gun in my hands. I washed up, changed clothes, and found a cab. It was 10:45 when I reached Joan's apartment. I had to knock a long time before she came to the door. She was rubbing the sleep out of her eyes.
Lucky? Oh, come on in.
Thanks, honey.
What happened to you?
Surprise party by the same people who surprised Ted.
Wait, I'll get some bandages.
Now, that's not why I came.
No?
When Ted quit the rackets, what did he do with his gun?
He asked me to keep it. He said then I'd know he was on the up and up. Why?
I want Ted's gun.
What are you going to do with it?
Never mind. Just get me the gun.
No, Lucky. You'll only get...
The gun.
In the bottom drawer of the dresser. I'll get it. I think you're crazy. Here.
Thank you.
Where are you going?
Wentworth Towers. Bailey has an office there.
Lucky, you are crazy. You're walking right into a trap. They'll kill you like they killed Ted.
Well, if I don't go, Jerry will be coming around again. You see, in a way, it's no good. At least this way, I say when. Wish me luck.
Luck! Oh, you fool, you poor fool. You'll end up like Ted with 5 bullet holes in your back.
When I got to the Wentworth Towers, it was almost midnight. The streets were deserted. The only sounds were distant traffic. The front door was locked, and the only light in the lobby came from the night elevator. An old man sat inside the elevator, dozing. I pounded on the window. He reluctantly got to his feet and started walking toward me. He snapped the lock and pushed open the front door.
Nobody in this building now. All the offices are closed.
Not all of them, Pop. I have an appointment with Mr. Bailey.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take you up. 24th floor. Come on.
As the elevator rose, I dipped my hand in my coat pocket. The cold touch of the gun had the comforting sensation of a boy holding his father's hand. The elevator came to a stop on the 34th floor. The doors opened, and little boy Blue stepped out of the darkness. He had a gun, too, only his was in his fist.
Take us downstairs, Pop.
Sure thing, Jerry.
I want to see Bailey.
We know, but Bailey don't want to see you. And keep your hands out of your pockets. Let me see what you got there. A gun. Pretty nice. Thanks.
Don't mention it. I'm always handing out souvenirs.
You go out first, Pop, and open the street door.
All right, Jerry, I'll get it open for you.
Is everything all right, Pop? Is it all clear?
Why don't you go out there and see? Here, I'll help you.
Hey, what?
I shoved the kid out. I pushed the lever that slammed the door shut and started the elevator going up. I could see little lights blink on the instrument panel as I passed each floor. Bailey was on the 34th floor, and I was getting closer. 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 All of a sudden, the elevator stopped. I was stuck between the 11th and 12th floors. I didn't have to be a mastermind to figure out what had happened. Little boy Blue and the old man had gone to the basement and switched off the power on my elevator. They'd bring up one of the other elevators and come after me. I began to feel like an animal trapped in a cage. Then I noticed the little door on top of the elevator. I climbed up on the old man's stool. I pushed the door upward and grabbed the sides of the opening. And I started pulling myself out. And now I was standing on top of the elevator, hanging onto a greasy cable that ran down from the roof of the building. Far below, I heard the other elevator with Jerry and the old man start climbing. I leaned forward to reach the door of the 12th floor. I couldn't reach it. The other elevator was coming up fast. As I lunged for it again, their elevator stopped at the 11th floor. I was trapped good. But as long as I was between floors, they couldn't get to me either. Little boy Blue figured it that way, too.
Well, how are we going to get his elevator down here so we can get at him?
You wait here. I'll go down to the basement and get him down to the 11th with the emergency crash.
All right, but hurry.
It was turning into a big evening. In a couple of minutes, I could feel my elevator inching down toward the 11th floor and me going right along with it, perched on the roof. Then I heard that shattering of glass. That meant the kid was using his gun butt to break through the little glass window in my elevator door so that he could reach in and spring it open. Ah, nice figuring. And now if I could figure a way to stay alive for the next 5 minutes, Mr. Einstein could move over.
Where is he? How can he get out of here?
Where he couldn't. Jerry, look up there.
Hmm?
The trap door is open. He's at half of the elevator.
Yeah? Now, that ain't playing fair. How many floors in this building, Pop?
35, Wayne.
I've always wanted to run an elevator. Let's see how fast we can get to the roof. Shut up! Hold on to your hat, Stone.
We were rising a mile a minute. All I could do was sprawl down and watch the roof of that building coming at me. Faster and faster. The top pulley singing around and around louder and louder. The roof was rushing to meet me like we were lovers from way back. Faster and faster, almost to the top. Almost.